This lecture is copyrighted by Musharraf Hamilton in the year 1979.
You know, if I live to be 100, I think I'll always forget that you're going to do that. I'm always surprised when I turn around and see you there. Bonnie asked me to tell you that the list is ready out on the kitchen table if all of you will sign up for dishes that you're going to bring for the Christmas brunch as soon as possible. She'll appreciate it. And also Bob Ladd has asked me to announce that he is giving a curtain at his home on Friday evening and invites all of you to come. I'd like to read to you from God Calling. Your search rewarded. Lord, all men seek for thee. All men seek for me, but all men do not know what they want. They are seeking because they are dissatisfied without realizing that I am the object of that of their quest. Count it your greatest joy to be the means by your lives, sufferings, words, and love to prove to the questing ones you know that their search would end when they saw me. Profit by my example. I left my work, seemingly the greatest work, that of saving souls, to seek communion with my Father. Did I know, perhaps, that with many it was idle curiosity? Did I know that there must be no rush into the kingdom, that the still small voice, not the shoutings of a mob, would alone persuade men I was the Son of God? Why be surrounded by multitudes if the multitudes were not really desiring to learn from and to follow me? Follow the Christ into the quiet places of prayer. Our Bible reading tonight is Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, pardon me, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I'd like to talk to you tonight about the richness of life. And that first sentence says it all. Because you see, it says there that God is in everything, that he encompasses everything, and that there is nothing but God. Man has the right to ask to be free. But man can never be free until he becomes the Son of God. In his humanness, in this world of duality, he is forever a slave. He cannot possibly be anything else because he is constantly pummeled around between these pairs of opposites. And so it is only in seeking God that actually we find our freedom in this world. Man wants his freedom and seeks it in many ways. He wants freedom of speech. He wants political freedom. He wants religious freedom. He does not want to have too much dominion over him in whatever work he does. He is constantly desiring to do that which he is directed to do at the moment. But he does not realize that none of these things will give him freedom. Nations are fighting against nation for the sake of freedom, they say. And yet every time they fight, they break the commandments, and the greatest, thou shalt not murder. They deprive people of that very precious substance, which is life itself. And no matter how the governments impose upon them the necessity for going out and fighting evil, of fighting so that they may have their freedom, fighting is not going to bring it, in no way. Arguing is not going to bring it. Whatever you do to help yourself is not going to bring it. If you put your mind upon God alone, if you make the constant effort, the day will come when you will go beyond duality, and then you will realize that you and your Father are one, but not before that day comes. And before that moment arrives, you must come to the place where you know that of yourself you have never done anything and you can do nothing, that it is your Father who doeth the works. It's an amazing thing that we go about the world thinking that we do everything, but in fact we do nothing. Because if God is all there is, then it is God who is acting the part of man. It is God who has placed himself in the position of thinking that this world is dual instead of one. It is God, God everywhere. There is nothing but God. But we fight and we scream and we argue with one another and we play tricks upon one another. And constantly life goes on all around us, and yet it passes us by. And we never really enter into it and become involved. The richness of life is service to God. The richness of life is meditation upon God. The richness of life is to love every single creature on this earth with the love of God. And until you are able to do those things, you will have sorrow in your life. You will have illness. Did you realize that you are the slave to your body? That your bodies are constantly telling you what to do? Your bodies say, I am sick, I am well, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do something else. I don't like this person, I don't like somebody else. It's all contained right within this body. And so because you have this feeling at the moment, then you react and you act in accordance with that feeling. We never stop to think about these things, how controlled we are, and how we permit this control over our very existence by other people and through our own choices. Because every moment of our lives we have a choice as to which path we're going to take, which road we're going to go. Every single moment. There is never a time when we do not have that privilege. And we can waste that time. We can waste it in enjoying the things of the senses. We can waste it in doing a lot of nonsensical things, just sitting, gazing out at things. Although sometimes that's good, just to rest and relax. But if we're doing it without any appreciation of the richness of the life all around us, which God has provided for us, it really isn't going to do us any good. So we have to become aware first of the fact that we are God in human form, that the life of God is everywhere equally present, and in truth that there is no sickness, no pain, no illness, except that which we impose upon ourselves. And so we have to look at this thing called evil. Most of us have made it a very personal thing, and yet evil by itself is totally impersonal. How can it be otherwise when there is nothing but God all around us? It is a thing of our imagination. And if we would but learn to go above, to rise above all of these petty cares and trials and hurts and pains, and to fix our minds on the immutable God, everything would iron itself out. I know, because I prove it every day of my life. As I have told you many times, there is scarcely a day goes by but what this body is not in pain. But I rise above that pain. And I put my mind on the work at hand. And I keep myself so busy doing things for God that I don't have time to think about me and all of my worries and problems. And because I'm living in a human body in a world of duality, I have them. You know, I just don't go scot-free. But there's one thing I do have, and that is self-mastery. I have the power within myself to rise above any trial, any tribulation which comes to me. I may not be able to do it the very moment that it happens, but I can certainly work at it and get it behind me in a short time. Because I know that God is the source of all life, of all supply. And if something or someone is taken away from me, then it will be replaced, if I know that it will. Each one of us stands in the shadow of our own life, of our own light. And we do not realize that we have all power, the power of God, which is the only residing power in every single form which dwells on this earth. And that if we but lifted our eyes to the hills, that we could make use of that power and turn it into tremendous rewards for God's work. I was thinking the other day, with all of the people who come here, if each one would bring only one person with them, only one, the whole congregation would be doubled in a hurry. One good one. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? I don't know where we'd put them in here at the moment. Tonight we could, but this is nearing Christmas time and everybody is worrying about getting their cards out and their Christmas gifts wrapped and bought and all the rest of it. So am I. But I'm here and so are you. So it's awfully nice that I have somebody to talk to for my efforts, you know. I should be home too, according to all the human laws, working on things. I still don't have my overseas mail out, nor much of the many of the things that I have to buy that have to be sent by mail, and it's really in a bind. So incidentally, I am not taking any more appointments, personal appointments, until after the first of the year. There are quite a few people coming in from out of town, and incidentally, I forgot to mention in the beginning that Beth has asked that all of you who have any space for people to stay, please let her know, because there are quite a few of the Canadians who are asking to come down and have a place to stay. So please open your homes and your hearts to these people and show the real Christ spirit. This is a tremendous season of the year. It is this season that we start to think about life in all of its glory and all of its fullness and all of its richness. Because we think of the birth of the Christ and what that means to all of the people on the earth. This whole planet is governed by the consciousness of the Christ, that first and only begotten Son of God, which God projected from himself. And that one is everywhere equally present, the firstborn of every single creature there is. And as we go out and buy our gifts, as we do our works of service for people at this time of the year, let us keep in mind that sacred birth of the Christ and the richness and the fullness and the glory of the life which he led. It was very, very difficult. It was the way of the cross and the Christ, as we say. It was the way of crucifixion, but it was the crucifixion of the Son of Man in order that the Son of God might be made manifest. He came and taught us in every act of his life how we should pick up our cross and follow him and emulate him, until finally that Son of Man was transformed and became the Christed One, the Son of God. We think of the star of the east, and always there's that mystical feeling of that star hovering over the manger in Bethlehem. And yet, until somebody finds out the truth of the fact that the star of the east is in the center of your own forehead, that that manger is right behind the house of bread in your own body, that Bethlehem in Hebrew means the house of bread. They're never going to realize that the whole thing that is spoken of in all of the great scriptures takes place right within yourself, and that that star can appear inside of you at any time, and then you will truly know what it means to live, to be aware of the constant bliss, the constant flow of life, of power, of beauty, of glory, of all the good and wonderful things of life. Each morning when we get up, we should dedicate our lives to God and go forth saying to Him, "Here am I, Lord, take me, do with me as you will." Relax. Stop doing things yourselves and give yourselves in full measure to Him and let Him work through you. Let it be His consciousness, His light, His power, His intelligence which comes forth from you. Be the witness of all that happens within your one being, and you will find that it is an entrancing play constantly taking place within yourself, that actually you are a player on the stage of life. And you are acting a part, whatever part that God happens to assign you to at the moment. And the amazing part is that you are never limited in the parts that you can play. You can make a new part every single day, make a game out of it. And instead of constantly facing the day with a downbeaten look and, "Oh, I hate to get up, I wish I could sleep some more," jump out of bed. Don't strip your gears, though, but jump out of bed and be ready for a new day in God, in service to Him. And go forth seeking that which is good. And go forth with the idea that there are some seeds of spirit within you that you may sow along the way. You may sow them in the deeds that you do, in the speech that you give to other people, in the thoughts that you think, which govern and control all of your thoughts or all of your actions and your speech. Think about these things. And if just think what a wonderful world it would be if each and every one of us would be able to really want to do these things that I am talking about every moment of their lives. This whole world would change. If each one brought just one, and then that one brought just one more, and that one brought one more, we would have a whole army for God. So then where would there be all of this war, all of this tribulation, all of this backbiting and threatening one another as is going on today? It wouldn't exist. What a terrible thing to be happening at this most holy of seasons, commemorating that which happens in every man when he is ready to receive the birth of the Christ within himself. I was reading a story the other day. You know, even sadhus, if they are not totally God-realized, get themselves into some pretty strange messes every now and then. Once there were two sadhus who came to a certain town, and a devotee happened to hear about it, and he was a great lover of saints. So he went to this one saint, and he talked with him a little while, and he said to him, "Did you hear that there was another saint in town, that he is staying over at such and such a place?" "Oh, yes," he said, "I heard about him. He is a buffalo." So the next day, this spiritual devotee went out and bought some hay and took it over to the man that was living across the town. And the man looked at him and he said, "What is this you are giving me?" "This is an offering to you, my lord," he said. And he said, "What would I in the world be doing with hay?" he said. "I have no animals around." He said, "Well, I went to talk to the other saint who lives across the town, and he told me you were a buffalo. And I know that buffaloes love hay, so I brought you hay." And he said, "The man is an utter fool. He is an ass. Go and tell him I said so." So the man went out the next day, and he bought some cotton seeds. And he took them to the man across the way. And the man says to him, "What in the world are you doing bringing me cotton seeds? What would I do with them? I cannot eat them." He said, "Well, I went to the saint, and he said, across the way, and he said that you were an ass, that I should tell you so. So I know that the ass likes cotton seeds better than anything, so I have brought you some. So the one saint rushed over to the other saint. They wound up in a great big quarrel while the devotee sat there and watched. And this is what we do, whether we're saints or not. We are constantly starting something and watching how it turns out, and then being sure to tell everybody else just exactly what happened, you know? So that we start all of these things ourselves, we enter into them, and sometimes we're responsible for them. It's like the, let's see, what was it? A rat, I think, that had no one as a friend. And so he was living around where two cats lived, and they were great friends. They were always together, and they were always after the rat. But one day, the two cats had a big fight, and they weren't speaking to each other anymore. So this was the rat's opportunity. So he went first to one cat and got all of the gossip he could from that one. Then he went to the other cat, and he got all the gossip he could from that one. Then he peddled it back and forth and back and forth. And he was having the time of his life because he was getting so much attention. And here where he'd had no friends before, he had two friends. Both cats were his friends, but they were enemies of each other's. But one day, something happened that he didn't reckon with. The cats made up, and they ate the mouse. And that's the way this life goes, you know. It's exactly the way it goes. It can only change when we are willing to give ourselves to God in full measure, to go out and discover the richness of life and of living, to really stand and appreciate the sun, the moon, the stars, the gentle breezes that flow, and to see all of nature that God has provided for us, to look at the fruit on the trees and the flowers that bloom in the gardens, and to see the vegetables growing in the ground, and to appreciate and give blessing for all of His provision every moment of our lives. And in this coming holy season, and we are into it now, there is that special upliftment, that special anticipation of something that really we don't make sufficient use of. We get ourselves in a terrible stew because we're always pressured. We don't even have time to sit down and think about the words that we can say in a note that we can send with a card, or have time to really appreciate each gift as we wrap it with love in our hearts for that person for whom it is intended. And yet, these are the gifts that we give out to our friends whom we say we love. The greatest gifts you can give are the gifts of love, of devotion, and to give up and lay at the feet of the Christ that gift of myrrh, which is the bitterness within ourselves, that gift of fool's gold, which keeps the attention upon all the worldly things, and instead place at His feet that gift of frankincense, that gift of worship, which will take us inside of the temple, which will make us still. Be still and know that I am God, it says in one of the Psalms. And so it is. In the stillness of your soul, you must seek Him. In the stillness of your soul, you will find Him. And it says, know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So you will never be free in trying to do anything else, in accomplishing anything else in this world, until you have made the effort to know that truth and to find the richness of life within yourselves. Phil, would you lead the chant?